to another edition of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. It's not just another episode of the podcast, it's the 100th episode. Time to celebrate. So other than celebrating, this week we'll be looking back on last week's 0-0 draw with Montrose, preview this Saturday's game against Airdrie, and we'll be hearing from manager Jim McAnally, Scott Brown and Russell McLean. I'm Colin Byers, and is with me as ever, I should say, is Martin Smith. Welcome along. 100 episodes.
we've finally
gotten there.
We've made it, yeah, absolutely.
So when we started this week 2 years ago, or just over 2 years ago now, then did you think we was going to get here?
Honestly, no. I thought it was one of them things we'd get a couple of months and then it might just sort of fade off, but thankfully it hasn't. It seems to be going from strength to strength, and we've gotten a lot of support for the club and people out west. So, no, thoroughly enjoying it.
I thought it would have died a natural death.
Yes.
But no, it's as I've said, we've got to 100, which is good. We've got to the milestone eventually. I just kind of thought as well, it's 113 weeks since we started. So we've almost put it one a week. So we must have had a couple of occasions through the pandemic where we're piling out two at a time. But we've done good. We should, I don't want to sound like I want to do an Oscar speech or anything like that, but there are a few folk I think we should thank. There are loads of guys who's been so supportive for day one. We're not going to name every individual because we'll be here all night doing that. But the support that you guys that have been listening, new or old, has been very much appreciated. The support we've got for the club as well has been really good as well. Even the guys for the management team as well, we should thank them. On a personal point of view, I'm going to thank a couple of people as well. I'm going to thank my wife for a start. She's been very patient through the last kind of couple of years, particularly when we were churning out interviews after interviews during the summertime last year. She's been very very patient and very understanding, shall we say, during these last couple of years. I think my biggest supporter, I think, has been my dad. He's been quite good at giving me feedback, shall we say, near enough every week. So it's good that we've been getting the support for those kind of people, which is good for me on a personal point of view. Like, if there's anybody you want to, I'm not putting you on the spot or anything like that, but anything you want to kind of add to that?
No, really, as you said, the support we've got for everybody, whether it be current players, ex-players, even folk getting up their evenings, I think that's the big thing, because coming on a podcast, it's nice for Abdi, so anybody that has been on or has given us feedback, good or bad, it's all welcomed, and hopefully they'll continue to support us.
And when we kind of come up with the suggestion of doing it, we really had the idea where we were going to go with it, how it was going to go. I think it's just sort of naturally just kind of snowballed, if you like. We didn't really have a plan. It's as shocking as that might sound.
Some people might argue we still don't have a plan.
We're still not okay with what we're doing. But it has snowballed. It has, for both of us, it's opened up other avenues. For me personally, again, it's opened up other avenues as well. So it's been, I think it's been a very good experience. And, you know, we're not ending it, but we're just going to carry on until such time that maybe does
die
come to have a die a death. But from we did start, I mean, I think we could have probably thought it was going to be a quiet kind of just, once a week we'll just speak about the football. But 5 months after we started, Rory McAllister left, and then 2 months after that, COVID kicked in.
Yeah,
we couldn't have predicted the first 6 months that we would have had.
I remember when the pandemic kicked in, we sort of thought we got to deal with the podcast. We dropped it down to, was it once every 2 weeks to try and figure out if we were going to do, and then you came up with the idea of the ex-players, managers, coaches and that coming on. And that's what I kept us busy. I think during the pandemic as well, it's tough for Abdi, but it's what I kept us sort of in touch with each other, because obviously at that time you had to do everything through a screen. You couldn't even leave the house at some point. But no, it's been good, and thankfully we're still doing it, and it seems to be well supported.
And I'm glad actually we did carry on during the pandemic, because for I think we've mentioned it before, because it was good for us to kind of concentrate on that rather than if it was going on.
Yeah.
But also meant that once we got through the pandemic, we were able to carry on almost naturally as well. Whereas if we had just stopped it, it maybe would have felt, do we really want to start it up again?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But I'm glad we did. I'm glad we kind of persevered through Zoom and things like that.
the technical issues to start with was, I'll tell you, the things that the guys and I see, but yeah, with a few technical issues, but we got there.
Yeah, that's good. And well, she's also thank yourself as well, because without you,
it's a teamwork.
It's
thing.
We wouldn't be here, or else I'd just be speaking to myself, wittering on, as I might be, or getting the wife to join me. I don't know, but all in all, yeah, thanks for the support, each and every one of you. As I said, 100's is a milestone. We didn't think we'd get here, but we did. So, yeah, thanks for the continued support that we've been received. And not just for Peterhead fans, there have been other supporters and other podcasts of teams out there as well that have supported us as well. So it's been very much appreciated up until now. So hopefully that continues. And the relationships that we're building with other guys and girls as well, I should say. Across the country, so that is. It feels like we should have had like a party poppers or something as well, just to kind of get that. So we're going to. Okay. All right, let's crack on then with the other business. Last Saturday's game against Montrose, another 0-0, back to back 0-0s. Slightly different game, I feel, this time compared to the Falkirk game, which the Falkirk game seemed to have a bit more kind of action to it. This one was the exact opposite, I think.
It was a poor. Well, was that a poor game? From your point of view, Peterhead fans, I think it was poor. I don't think we did enough within the game. But also, I don't think Montrose did particularly well either. As weird as it is, both teams would probably have been happy with a. Both managers might have been happy with a point come the end of the game. I didn't think it was a great spectacle. Looking back at it, two home games against Falkirk and Montrose. Probably disappointed that we've only taken 2 points, but we didn't play well enough within the games to warrant.
I think if both teams look back on it, I think it's a case of they weren't great in the final third, both teams, and I think up into those kind of points, maybe cancels you to that out. Defensively, both were really good, and I think that was the kind of the difference. Nobody really had that kind of spark in the final third just to break the deadlock.
Yeah, it's maybe something we've been missing the last couple of weeks. I think it's. When you get tight games or games that you've got few chances in, you need your creative players, and that's when you're looking for likes of Hamish Ritchie. Just that little spark and that bit of energy in midfield. Even Scott Brown, but obviously in the Falkirk game, he had to drop deeper because of Simon's injury. But overall, 2 points out of the two games. Yeah, I am probably. I know it's Falkirk and Montrose, but slightly disappointed. But that's only on the basis of us not playing to the potential that we know we can get to.
Yeah, and considering we'd scored, what was it, 9 goals in the previous two? So yeah. But anyway, the sort of opening 10 minutes, we did have a lot of success down that right hand side through that man Josh Mulligan again, and you just kind of felt that in that opening spell we were going to get a lot of joy doing that side.
Yeah, he did really well, which is, it's a nice shock to anybody that watches Peary this season. He's been really good. And I did feel that if we're going to have any joy, it was going to be doing Montrose's left, our right-hand side. But as you said, it was good the first 10 minutes, and after that, it sort of seemed to peter out. It didn't really seem to do much. But I don't think he got enough of the ball. It seemed to go into midfield, and sometimes I feel we're taking an extra touch from Danita rather than zipping out wide and giving Mulligan the chance to like drive at a defender, take him on, because I don't think that happens much in League One. But if you take a player on, gain the chance.
Is it maybe a case now that teams are recognising that Mulligan's a threat? And we almost saw a couple of occasions where it's almost like two against one. They're deliberately putting two against them.
Yeah.
Just to sniffle out that threat.
But I think. With respect to the players that we've got, they've got to be smarter as well. If they see two players teaming up on Josh Mulligan, then you want to see Scott Brown, Hamish Ritchie, Andy McCarthy making them runs deep from midfield, because obviously if there's two on Mulligan, it leaves a gap somewhere. Is that a case of Russell McLean drops slightly deeper for somebody to go on ahead of him? It's it's little margins like that that'll be the difference between, as we've seen on Saturday, getting 1 point at home and they playing great, to that little difference. And you're looking for that little spark that I think is missing at the moment.
I think the only time that McLean really got in behind the defence was around about the 15th minute mark, when McCarthy played him in. And I think it's an occasion where, if he looks at it again, I think he could do a lot better with it. I think the lob was on. I know it's the edge of the box, but yeah. I think the keeper's rushing out. I think he's actually let it bounce twice rather than just hitting it the first time and just dinking the keeper. And that was really the only real opportunity there was first half.
The only thing I thought when I seen that and seen it back was one word that screamed out to me was confidence.
Mm.
I think had Russell been a good bit of form with goals, he would have seen it first time or the one bounce and then hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact, as you said, he let it bounce twice, he's looked at the keeper and he's nae gone for like the dink shot. I think it just screams out a player that's lacking in confidence. Even for the effort against Falkirk, it was a narrow sort of shot. He was sort of forced wide and he's taken a shot. You think, again, somebody with a bit more confidence might have sort of faked shot and then come inside. So, again, confidence plays a big part for your strikers, but hopefully they'll get back in the goal train soon.
Not much else to speak about in the first half, other than the first sort of real big talking point in the game was Marston's tackle on, assault, shall we say, on Jason Brown. He got the yellow card. It was funny because there was a three of us in the commentary box, and I think there was maybe two or three different opinions on it initially. I think having now seen it back and seen the repercussions of it, how Marston's managed to get away with a yellow is sort of beyond me.
Yeah, looking back, it's a red card. Which, it's weird because had the referee taken no action, you could have had retrospective action for a red card, but the fact he's given him a yellow at the time means nothing can be done about it. But I thought the referee initially did well. He bought himself some time, whether he was speaking to his assistants in their earpieces or mouthpiece, whatever. I thought he'd bought himself a couple of seconds to make a decision, but then when I seen the yellow card come out, it was, yeah, looking back, it was a wrong decision. And you can sort of see by the injury to Jason and the scar that he's got, it's a sore one. Even Jason pointed that out to the referee on Saturday.
To be fair, Scott Brown, I think, in particular, was quick to point out that it was a high foot. Now, he was caught where we thought was round about the sort of rib area initially, the way he went down. So you thought, well, that's high feet for a start. But then, as we said, we've seen the kind of results of it after. It was on his knee. Had Jason's foot been grounded as well, you're almost in danger of even breaking the leg at that point.
Yeah, it was something you pointed out to me the other day. That had his foot been, like, you know, as they call it, a standing foot in the ground, and it had been rigid, then yeah, that could have been, you know, potentially a serious injury for Jason. Thankfully, it looks like, you know, he'll be fine. It was quite sore on Saturday, but, you know, that's not the point. I think the referee, he bought himself some time, and looking back, I think he would probably agree that a red card should have been issued.
Alan Muir is traditionally is a Premier League referee, and if a referee who is a Premier League referee, and I use that in quotations, is now refereeing a League One game, there's obviously he's perhaps been punished, shall we say, maybe gotten something wrong, or it's a case of that we're just kind of firing him out of a game. That's a big error,
I don't know whether I mentioned it, because we had Gavin Duncan a few weeks back and his performance wasn't great. I'm not sure if I mentioned it then, but I will now just in case. I really don't understand why, if a referee is poor in the Premiership, why he should be allowed to do Championship, League 1, League 2. Because if a player is poor, he gets dropped and doesn't play. If a manager is poor, he gets sacked and loses his job. If a referee is poor, they just put him doing the divisions. So he's still getting to referee a game every week.
I'm getting paid.
So rather than demoting him, surely there's got to be a retraining programme or something. I don't know what there is, but that needs looked into. But yeah, that's Gavin Duncan and now, as you said, Alan Muir as well. And both referees, they stick out in your mind, not because of a Premiership referee, allegedly, but because they've had poor decisions within the game. I think if you pick out other referees, you know, who refereed a game against Dumbarton, you wouldn't be able to remember it straight away, but you'd remember it because of poor refereeing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, yeah, it's quite damning. If you're a Premiership referee, you get League One, you're still making the basic errors, as we would call them.
Yeah, and you know, as you say, this is episode 100, but it seems to be a common theme when we talk about referees. But that's just where we are. I think in Scottish football, I think it's just the standard is just so poor. The fact that he's given himself so much thinking time as well, and he's still come to the wrong conclusion, is a major issue. Had he snapped, made a snap decision and given the yellow straight away, and then you thought, well, he's obviously made the decision too quick. Mm-hmm. You said, well, he's obviously made it, that's an error. That he's been giving himself a long, long time to think about. He's obviously now getting himself has gotten no help from his assistant on the near side, because he would have seen it, because he was, although we are slightly back from him, he would have had the same sort of view as we had. He didn't get any help from him, so that's to me a big concern.
Yeah, it's probably one of them officials. Do you want them to get involved more to make the right decision? And I'd rather he took 2 minutes longer, spoke to the official mm-hmm. that was on our near side, just in front of us, and had they come to the right decision, then you didn't mind that 2 minute gap. But the fact that it's still the wrong decision, and that would have been the same had a Peterhead player made that challenge on Montrose. It's not just because it's Montrose on Peterhead, but as you said a minute ago, the standard of refereeing at the moment seems to be a lot worse than it's been in previous years.
If he'd taken that extra two minutes, waited to see the severity of the injury as well, just taking all that into account and going, right, okay, it looks quite serious, it looks like a bad injury, foot was high, the only conclusion I can come to is it's a red. I know it's, 30 minutes into the game, still, it's a red card regardless.
Should he send someone off at Alloa? Did I read doing it after about 2 minutes, or was it cold?
I think it was less than that. It was in the first minute, I think. So he can make decisions like that.
Yeah.
That was maybe playing on his mind, that he's maybe sent off somebody too early, because he definitely got that one wrong. That wasn't a sending off for the Alloa one. And he's maybe thought, had that playing in his mind, but it just, no matter which way you think about it and try and assess what far he's gone wrong, he is going it wrong.
I mean, it certainly falls into the category of dangerous foul play, so I'm without reading the rules, I'm sure if it's classed as dangerous foul play or it's not violent conduct but dangerous play, that it's deemed a red card, but it's maybe changed.
So they managed to get away with that one. It was 11 against 11. Not much else, as I said, happened in the first half, into the second half. And you mentioned about confidence in Russell McLean. 4 or 5 minutes into the first half, he was doing what he was doing. You know, he got into the face of the defenders. He forced Quinn into a mistake. And on the edge of the box, I don't know if he was taking a shot or if he was trying to cross it, but he had Derek Lyle on the penalty spot open across to him. It was an easy tap in for Lyle. It just seemed to he tried to force it too quick, and he was trying to make it happen, whereas, as you said before, if he had a little bit of confidence, a little bit more kind of composure about him, he could have either just taken a half a second, there's Lyle, let's go and play a man.
To me, Arkham's doing, especially Russell McLean, I think it certainly does come down to his confidence. And I think, as you've hit the nail on the head there, I think if he was bang in form, he was scoring goals, as you said, he lifts his head up, sees Derek Lyle, and he plays the ball in. But it's just not quite falling for him at the moment. I think he might be a wee bit like Naya Payne, in the sense of once he gets one, he'll get three or four, and then it just seems to come at a stop. But you're trying to get... You either want them to be opposites so that they're base scoring goals at certain times, or you need to try and get them up to that level for they're scoring more often. But he's struggling a wee bit at the moment.
Yeah, as I said, it was him and McLean and Lyle that was playing up front. Lyle got his hour, which we thought, and it did reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the combination of those two probably combated the physicality of the Montrose defence, rather than having McLean up there on his own. But he did well. We should mention again, Brett Long was in fine form. Second half, he had a wonderful save off of Antonazzi, and I think deservedly got another clean sheet, because he was only time he was called up upon, and let's be honest, it wasn't very often during the game, but when he was, he was pulling at the saves, and I think the second save in the second half against Antonazzi was probably his best one.
I think that's a sign of a good goalkeeper, though, if they're not called upon, that they can create them saves. Something that I thought Josh Ray was good at when he was here was he's not often called upon at times in games, but he did really well when he was needed. I think Brett Long's exactly the same. His shot stopping's incredible. And as you said, that save, it's probably up there with his best save in a Peter Heath kit. And he's had a fair few saves, let's be honest.
Yeah, the stats seem to be going up and up and up. Which, as I think we mentioned last week, if it's that's okay, but he really did. I want him being that high up, but he's doing all right so far. Richie hit the bar with a header from a Duffy free kick. What we're starting to notice from young Flynn is his set pieces. He's really good at getting them on the mark, whereas before we'd mentioned a few times that the set pieces hadn't been great. So it's good to see that we've got somebody who can take a free kick, who can take a corner and find a Peter Heath shirt rather than finding the opposite end of the park.
Aye, we commented before that sometimes when Peter Heath get a corner, it's a waste because the deliveries normally on the whole were pretty poor. And Flynn Duffy's set pieces have been good, barring that game against Dumbarton, the win for nobody had good set pieces. But yeah, overall His set-piece delivery seemed to be really good, and you'd like to think, Gord, in the course of a season, the likes of Jason Brown and Russell McLean in the squad, that we'll get a few goals for set-pieces as well.
And the second major talking point was the sending off of Sean Dillon, the experienced man, 38 over 500 career games, off-the-ball incident. Now, again, on commentary, I'd never seen it. You saw it. Just go again through what you saw and how you think he's come to the conclusion of it.
Yeah, it's an innocuous ball up. Russell McLean and Dillon sort of challenged for it in the air, and they've both come down. And is there just getting up? I don't know whether something's been said or something, but just as McLean's got up first, just by a fraction, and then Dillon's gotten up. But as Dillon's getting up, he sort of had a little kick out with the right foot. It hasn't made contact with Russell McLean, because we spoke to Russell afterwards, and you know, he said he couldn't understand why he'd been sent off either. But just that, it was one of them. You could clearly see right through the players. You could see Dillon McLean, but you could also see the linesman, and then he brought it to the referee's attention. It's one of them. Normally a linesman wouldn't get involved, but he is on that occasion. It's made no contact, but still, it appears that they're, you know, the intent's there.
Yes.
Which, of course, you kind of hate within the game. So that would have been a red card. But it was interesting to say that McLean didn't come away, Dillon had been sent off. So evidently there was no contact. So it was interesting that the official got involved. But I think they did come to the right decision, because you kind of hate that.
Yeah, and I think as well, if you kind of look on some of the forums and on social media as well, there was different opinions on both sides. In fact, there were some Peter Heath fans thought it was, some Peter Heath fans didn't think it was a sending off, and then similarly with Montrose fans as well, some thought it was, some didn't think it was.
Okay.
But then what the linesman's picked up is that swipe.
Yeah.
With the right foot. Just because he's missed doesn't mean to say it's near sending off. He's obviously intended to do it. He's obviously trying to have a swing at him. What happened prior to that, we don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference. He's had a swing at him. And the disappointing thing for Stuart Bately is the fact that Sean Dillon is the most experienced player on the park, and was probably their best player up until that point.
Yeah, it just shows how quick a game can change, because I thought Dillon was good, used all his experience most of the game, apart from that, you know, red mist that sort of came over him. It's not even like there had been any niggles throughout the game between the two players came retrospectively, and he thought he'd maybe just leave one on or something. But no, it wasn't that sort of game, believe it or not, with the incidents. But yeah, strange. And it didn't really change the game in terms of Montrose didn't go forward as much. But you know, as you said, Peter might have been thinking his team had a good chance of winning the game. And obviously, when you can do it in 10 minutes, it makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah, and after that, I think there probably was going to be only one winner, if there was going to be a winner. It was all going towards the Montrose goal. Mulligan had a shot similar to the one that he scored with against Dumbarton. It whistled wide. McLean Now, he scored, but it was ruled offside on the 90th minute. It looked tight. Seen it again, and I'm not convinced either way. That's how tight it is. I've looked at it, and I just kind of go if it's offside or not offside. It really was that kind of tight. Russell thought he was on, which
he would say that.
but it wasn't as blatant as what we maybe thought it was first time around, but it was really, really tight. Having seen that one, and then obviously Richie's header going off the bar fractions into it, just that's where we're at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly it is fractions. But if somebody had told us a month ago we'd have gotten 2 points out of two games, we'd have probably been happy based on the form that we're in. But as you said, if we'd taken, you know, that header goes in or Russell's deemed to be onside, it's the small fractions, which we've said numerous times in this division, everybody can beat everybody, but it's just that small things that'll be the difference between, you know, worrying over your shoulder for relegation or looking up the table, potentially playoffs.
I think towards right at the very end, Grant Savory came off the bench and had, I think, the best chance to win it right at the very end. Played in brilliantly by Richie inside the fullback and the centre half, and he's 3-1 goal. And it's kind of squandered the effort. And I think this is one where, if he's fit, if he's been playing games, I think he sticks that one in as well. Yeah. Similar to what you said earlier on about Russell McLean and confidence. But having been in that position and got himself in that position, I think it's good to see him being in that position. And I think if he gets himself in that position again, more and more this season, he'll put it away.
Yeah, I think it is game time. I think had that chance maybe come at him in 2 weeks' time, you would fancy him maybe stick it away. But I don't think it'll be too long before Grant Savory sort of chopping at the door for a start. Because as we've said, obviously Naya's got to be out for a wee while. Russell isn't exactly firing all cylinders. And to be fair, Grant did okay when he came on the last 10-15 minutes against Montrose. I thought he did okay again against Falkirk without being too much involved. But then we weren't great either. As a team, I think he can't be far away from chopping at the door for a start, to be honest.
The good thing about having him, and say as a combination with Rusty's obviously going to try and get all the flick-ons, you can, he's got to be running in behind. Whereas before, like, obviously Derek Lyle's not going to be running in behind as much as you'd like to think he would be. He's just not going to do that. Naya's similar kind of thing, and I think that's why that combination was quite good. So, yeah, you know, as you said, you can't be far off getting a start. And if I get that combination going, you never know.
I think when you start with, well, certainly when I looked at a team lineup on Saturday and I seen Derek Lyle and Russell McLean, you sort of kind of, Montrose defence would go 5-10 yards further up the pitch.
Yeah.
Because as you said, there's nobody with that pace to go in behind other than Mulligan, but he's bombing for right back, so it's a fair ground to cover up. I just think we're maybe slightly too predictable and too easy to play against at times to nullify. Because you can, if Russell McLean doesn't win the header, then they pick up the second ball and they can recycle again for the halfway line. So I would like to see maybe Grant starting with that pace and behind and just force defences back a little bit.
So back to back, nil-nils. A couple of little stats here for you. I can't how you like a start.
I do.
first back to back nil-nils since the Inverness and Dundee in the League Cup in 2019. Remember, it was the Inverness game where it was like 45-44 in penalties or something stupid the cut.
Slight exaggeration.
But the first time in the league since 2006, January 2006, nil-nil against Raith and then nil-nil against Morton under Ian Stewart, which is quite surprising considering the amount of goals that an Ian Stewart team produced back then. But so it shows you how long ago since we've had any nil-nil. So we're bringing that one up too often, but I think overall, I think we're probably slightly disappointed we didn't win this one compared to the one against Falkirk, where I think we were glad to get a point.
Yeah, glad to get a point against Falkirk. Probably disappointed to get a point against Montrose. By, I'd imagine Montrose are saying exactly the same thing. They're disappointed just to get a point against Peterhead. Yeah. So I think it's one of them games. Both managers will be okay to pick up a point, but there's nothing really to write home for the game and then move on to the next team.
We'd like to thank our co-commentator, our guest commentator, Dougie Cameron, who joined us. Wonderful to have him. And first time we've met him as well, which was good. Good to meet him. And again, was very good and came across quite natural. And as I said, just kind of was fitted in quite nicely.
Yeah, a man that also predicted plenty of goals in the game. he pushed that line out a few times in the second half as well. There's goals in the game, but yeah, unfortunately not to be. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed his company on Saturday. Yeah, really enjoyed him.
We should make it a rule. If ever comes on, just stop predicting goals and just see what happens. Just let the game flow, because that's twice now it's happened. Anyway, right, we'll bash on then. We're going to hear now from manager Jim McAnally, and this is what his thoughts was after the game.
Right, Jim, you sum that one up then in the end.
I thought it was a fair result. And pleasing to a certain extent. I mean, when Dell comes off, we're back to having a really young team again. And I thought we looked solid enough. And just our goalkeeper had two brilliant saves. I don't think our goal was offside. I think the left back was playing Russell Owen. I think probably. Grant possibly should have scored when he was through, but he's made the goal he saved it. I thought a draw was a fair result. They'll probably complain about the red card, but they should have been down to 10 men in the first half of the tackle. Jason's knees. I think to be fair, once the referee seen it, I think he knew that he got it wrong. Bear in mind, he sent half a player in 30 seconds about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at Alloa. So, it was okay. We knew we kind of were prepared for Montrose. We know how they play. We play in Tappy Webster, and I think we got our shapes right, and we got our shape right, and I thought it was okay. Because you have got to remember that you've got an 18-year-old on one side, and 19-year-old on the other side, and 21, and 23, and 26 in the middle. So it was okay. They're a good side. And, you know, I think we stood up to them quite well. So, all in all, I know they could do it to 10 men, but I thought a draw was a fair result. And it puts another point in for us, you know. That's the thing. It's all about trying to get enough points. So we've got ourselves in a decent wee area. And every time you look at the fixtures, they just seem to get harder and harder. So we just need to keep working on, you know, trying to be more solid defensively, and we've done that. We've kind of maybe lost our way a wee bit going forward. But as I said to like say Hamish Ritchie today, who was nowhere near it on the ball, he done really well without the ball, you know. So that's the minimum you can ask, that when they're not playing well, that they do their jobs. And I think that's where we are at the minute.
Yeah, you went back to the back three again, and you kept Montrose relatively quiet. Was that a deliberate ploy as well? You wanted to keep the back three, but allowing the full backs to go forward as well?
Aye, that's what we're looking for. But to be honest, with the availability of players, we didn't have a big choice except play that shape. And that's why we worked on it, because it's not an ideal shape to play against Montrose, because they play 4-3-3, but really what happened was we played 3-v-3 at the back.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can play that and it can be costly to you, but I thought the three of them done really well, you know, considering, you know, that they're a strong team. They've been scoring goals freely, so no, it was good. We just, you know, we're reasonably pleased that we've got another point in the board, and we'll just move on.
Does the game hinge on that early decision that you didn't get on that foul on Jason Brown, and then the red card to Sean Dillon?
Aye, I mean to be honest, the referee hasn't got any say in the red card, I don't think, because I think the fourth official, the linesman, has shouted to him. Russell doesn't think that Sean Dillon actually done anything to him, but that doesn't take away from the fact that the tackle on Jason is just a shocker.
Yeah.
And you know, so it doesn't weigh one thing, doesn't it weigh another? At the end of the day, Jason could have had a serious injury rather than the two holes that he's got in his knee for the studs. And you know, I do think once the referee had seen his knee, I think he felt, you know, he knew that he probably got his card out too early.
Is it a good 2 points then of the last two games?
I think that's a better point in the day for us. I think we deserve that point rather than last week's, which was a wee bit relying on our goalkeeper too much. And the pleasing thing today was for the first 20 minutes, I thought we were really good. And then we kind of switched off and we started, for some reason, playing long balls rather than, and I said to them at half time, like, Andy McCarthy was brilliant for 20 minutes. And then we were shouting for him to take free, you know, get on the ball, and he'd done it again in the second half. He just went out and, you know, I mean, Andy in full flow is a really good player. I just don't know if he believes it yet, but it's just a case of keeping telling him, you know. So no, it's okay. And it just keeps a wee run going at the minute.
Interesting that he mentioned a couple of players, Hamish Ritchie, Andy McCarthy, not being at it or saying McCarthy was good for 20 minutes but then went quiet. We're not seeing enough people playing for 90 minutes just in the other way, and that's other than maybe say the Dumbarton game.
Yeah, it seems to be we're playing okay in patches. You mentioned it on Saturday, first 10 minutes we did okay, moved the ball around nicely, and then for some reason it seemed to stop. We mentioned it maybe about 6 weeks ago now that players playing sixes and sevens out of 10 a week, when I really cut it, you've got to be playing 7-8 out of 10. And I think Jim, ironically, up until Saturday, had the squad to be able to make the changes. Mm-hmm. But a couple of injuries and suspensions, and we do struggle. But I think there is players that are playing below themselves. Lyle Cameron, Hamish Ritchie, McCarthy. We're basing that on their previous performances only because they've set the benchmark themselves.
We're not being critical just for the sake of being critical. We know how good they are. And it was interesting, again, Jim said that McCarthy seems to be low in confidence, which seems a bit baffling to me because he's one of our better players. Mm-hmm. when he's on his game.
Yeah, and he also said Hamish was, what I want to quote him, it was miles off, miles away, mm-hmm. something like that. And again, that just shows you, if he's saying that in public, you know, I'm sure he's saying it in the dressing room. But again, these players, we're not criticising them for any reason. It's, we can that they've got that in their locker. And you think, I mean, points will be crucial come the end of the season for both going up and staying in the division. And you don't want to look back in games and think, well, if I just played slightly better then. It just seems to be that Abdi sort of nicking an off game, but just playing slightly below par. And you're just looking for them to kick on again, because we have been in a decent bit of form. A couple of results that, I mean, it's interesting, we're sitting here thinking we're disappointed with points against Falkirk and Montrose. But again, we just want them to kick on again.
Right, we're here for a couple of the players first. We're going to hear from Russell McLean, but first we're going to hear from Captain Scott Brown.
Hey Scott, how do you sum up that one then?
A bit disappointing in the end, to be fair. Obviously, they got into 10 men with 15, 20 to go, and we kind of looked a wee bit more dangerous, I think, when they went into 10 men, but they're a good side, and as the graph says, it's probably a better point. We probably played better today than what we did last week, so. Listen, we keep our wee unbeaten run going, but in the end we could have been a wee bit disappointed, I think.
It's always tight kind of games up here. Was that how you expected it to go?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're a good side. They don't lose a lot of goals. They've obviously been free scoring the last couple of weeks, so that's frustrating, but it just shows how far we've kind of come in the last month or so, that we are drawn with Montrose and obviously feeling a wee bit disappointed with it. If you had to say to us probably that at the start of the season, we'd probably be a wee bit more pleased with what we are now in this position.
Was it at this point that it took you kind of well into the second half before you really test their keeper?
Yeah, but I think we got ourselves in some good positions in the first half. Like, probably, again, final ball probably hurt, like, was killing us a wee bit, but listen, again, at the other end, pay tribute to Brett, he's been brilliant since he's came in.
Yeah.
And two world class, so good today to be fair to him. So, listen, if he keeps doing that, then I don't see why he couldn't go and play higher, to be fair to him. But we're delighted he's here just now and producing performances like that.
Yeah, a couple of big decisions by the referee. One, first half, not to send off on the tackle on Jason Brown, then it's the sending off. What are your thoughts on those two?
Listen, it's one of the things where we also around the referee a wee bit, probably. I'm not sure it was a red card, it was probably a wee bit high, but Jason's cut it above the knee, so you could argue that it might have been, but it's one of them, it could go either way, and didn't really see the second one. I'm not really sure if Russell was offside. You've probably got a better view than what we've got, but it looked a pretty tight decision to be fair, but we'll see how that goes.
Is so that little kind of decision maybe just still not gone your way, kind of feet, that one's going on?
You could say that, but the same time, Brett makes two brilliant saves, yeah. So you could argue that he'll have a decent point in the end. But as I said earlier, it's so far we've kind of come that we're obviously disappointed to pick up a point to think they're second in the league, so
yeah.
We're obviously disappointed in that. But listen, we'll go again next week, we'll go to Airdrie and hopefully try and pick up the 3 points, and if not, we can keep on beating one going.
Yeah, it's another clean sheet as well. How pleased are you with that?
Brett will be delighted. He's been telling us in the bus how many saves he's been making all season. So
42.
Is it 42? Has he told you that? So, listen, as I said, he's been brilliant since he's came in. It's a bit of stick for the boys, but he keeps producing on Saturday, which we can't argue with.
Russell, how did you sum up that one then? Tough game?
Tough game, yeah, but I suppose a bit frustrating. And they got down to 10 men. They probably want to try and capitalise on it, but all in all, played first 20 minutes, played well, maybe fell with a wee bit in the second half of the first half. But just need to take the positives from it. No conceded again. Obviously, from our side, no scored again, but we're looking. As a unit, we're looking better, so it's all positives, I suppose.
You say you didn't score, but you certainly helped out the guys around about you, creating opportunities. It's just maybe taking those one or two opportunities that you did get.
I think I'm one side of the Clumsy end. I think I'm one side. That was on as a game, but we're getting in good positions. It's just decision making, final passes, but that can be done. Just some boys got the age, you know, make decisions. But once it clicks, I mean, it has clicked. We beat the bottom 5-0, we scored 4 against Alloa, so scored 4 against Batchwell. I'm not going to say that we're not getting beat, but in terms of the top end of the pitch, we need to start creating more chances, taking them.
In the end, it's a point against Montrose, it's a point last week against Falkirk. I suppose they've kind of spit on it, whereas kind of maybe 3-4 weeks ago, they could have been defeats.
It's two draws against teams that arguably you'd say are going to finish in the top four, or should finish in the top four. As you say, the first quarter of the season we'd have probably been naive and try to poise or try to bomb forward and we get caught on the counter, but two points, and they all add up at the end of the day.
It was a physical game, as you'd probably expected. How did you kind of find it up against like Sean Dillon again?
It's always a physical game. Dillon's, I don't know, just, but he's clever. He knows you're not going to get an easy game against Dillon. So it was a physical game. I don't know what he's been sent off at. Not happened to my part. I couldn't really send him off, but it was physical. They know what they're going to give. They're going to, first and foremost, from my opinion, being there, the first thing they want to do is try and out that way, yep. Really, to an extent, and then they try and play. So it's always physical games against them.
It seemed to be that it was the linesman that said something to the referee. Aye, just got it sent off to you. Any indication of it that you said to him?
No, I've no idea what he said. They just, all I heard him say 14-14. I thought he'd get booked on because that was the third or fourth time that he'd stopped me running in behind. But I honestly thought, I thought it was him off. He never kicked me on that. If he kicked me, I'd have said, but he never. I don't know. He didn't even touch me, to be honest. I ran into him and then set him off. So,
It was, I don't think he did a particularly good game at all. Through the referee, just kind of sums it up there, does it?
No, well, the boy Massage, I know Tez and I know what a bad mouth, but it's a shocking tackle. Yeah. I mean, I think Jason's going to get stitches and stuff like that, so it should be easy. It's a red card. I think he knows himself the referee should be a red card. I don't know if it's maybe just spilling up with what the red card in him, but these things happen. The referee can be sometimes alright, sometimes mistakes.
Should you win the next two games? I know they're away from home at Airdrie and Cove. Do you still go to them with full of confidence?
I've got to go full of confidence. We're playing well. The first 20 minutes I thought were very good today again. First 20 minutes were good. We were up decent last week. So there's no reason why not going to have confidence. I mean, again, they're too hard games. Every game's hard in this league. Only an easy game, but we're playing well. So, like I said, it's going to click again. We're going to have get chances. We'll score goals. So, I look forward to the next two games.
Apologies for the noise in the background. That was seemed to be the one Montrose fan who was harping with the 0-0. Speaking there to Rusty, I get the sense there's a bit of frustration about him. I think he's playing well, but I think he thinks he could be scoring more goals, which is an obvious thing to say about a striker. But what we need to do now is make sure, or what he certainly needs to do is make sure that he doesn't get himself over frustrated by not scoring, because as I said there, he is creating opportunities for the people around about him. One or two of those goes in and suddenly it's a different game.
Yeah, he's probably is frustrated with himself, but he can't let that get to him too much. I think a goal's not too far away for him, like, because I think he'll be a wee bit like Naya Payne. Once he gets one, he'll maybe go on a couple of games scoring, setting up assists and whatnot. You kind of get frustrated. But, you know, there's competition in the squad, and, you know, there's only so much time that Jim will give him these games that he's not scoring, and he might think about changing a bit. Yeah, hopefully a goal's not too far away for him.
Right, so before we move on to the next game, I want to just briefly sort of touch on something that we spoke about last week, or we certainly mentioned last week, in terms of those who are maybe negating a game at the moment, and maybe can maybe assess why. In particular, I want to look at the two Dundee loanees, Danny Strachan and Lyle Cameron. We'll touch on Danny first. Hasn't played since the 11th of September. Played 10 appearances, 5 starts, 5 substitutes, and just suddenly just seems to be out of the reckoning altogether. To be fair to Danny, I don't think he was playing particularly bad. He just seems to be out the pecking order completely new.
I don't think Danny's done anything wrong. I just think you kind of dropped Josh Mulligan just now. And I think that's the problem that Danny's got and he's facing, is the fact that the player ahead of him is Josh Mulligan. Far, you'd argue, is potentially our best outfield player. You know, Brett in goals and then Josh Mulligan. I think Josh and Brett are the first two names on the team sheet. Out with Scott Brown. So I think he's really just unfortunate in that sense that his position is right back, and that's where Josh Mulligan's at the moment, and he just can't get him out of the squad.
And I think it's also a case as well that the change of style as well, the change of formation, it's now a 3 at the back or a 5 at the back, whatever you want to call it. I don't think that's Danny's forte. He's an out-and-out right back.
Yeah.
And likes to play with somebody ahead of him so he can make those overlapping runs. I'm not sure Danny's the kind of one that can play a wing back and can, you know, just up and down, up and down, up and down. And I think it's just an unfortunate thing for him. And as I said, he hasn't done anything particularly wrong. It's maybe just circumstances have gotten away from him slightly. The other one, obviously, is Lyle Cameron. We mentioned last week how good he was last season. Was probably one of those that was first in the team sheet since the. The start, Lyle's been in and out. He's had 2 starts in the league, and that's all. 6 substitute appearances. I know he got injured, ironically, playing against Peterhead for Dundee B in that shocker of a rule where he got injured and then missed the following game. But since then, there's been 9 games that he's been available for, and he's only been involved in 6. And he's had 1 start. Where's it going wrong for him? Where's it going right? Is it just, again, maybe change of formation, change of styles? Is there something else in the background?
It's difficult. I think with Lyle, it's a combination of things. One was the benchmark that he set himself for last season. Very difficult to emulate that into a new season. Different players, and the slight change of formation of style that Jim's got. But I don't know if I've said it on record or just to you, on, you know, throughout the weeks. The gap with the restart between January and March this year, I think that he was one of the players that's been most affected by it. And then also he got injured a couple of months ago. It just hasn't really hit the form. But he needs to think far he's gone in terms of, does he bide here for the remainder of the season if he's not getting games? Because as a player, you know, we look out for Peterhead, but he's got to think of himself. And if it's not working out for him at Peterhead, he maybe needs to go back to Dundee and then maybe seek another loan elsewhere. Nay, advocating for him to go back. You know, you want to keep him. But from his point of view, he's got a decision to make. Does he want to stay at Peterhead and try and get back into the squad? Because I certainly think there's a really good player in him. But we've seen that last season. As you said, he's probably one of the first names in the team sheet last year. It's just not quite worked for him this year. ironically, I think Josh Mulligan and Lyle Cameron on that right-hand side would cause a lot of teams a lot of problems. It just, for some reason, for me, it doesn't quite work out for him.
You kind of touched on it there, but if you're Dundee, or if you're the management there, the youth coaches and everything there, and you're looking at it and you're going, Danny Strachan hasn't played since the 11th of September. Lyle Cameron's not getting as much game time as we think. You think, would you look at it and you go, well, maybe we should look at moving them on to somewhere else? I don't know how these loans work out these days. Some of them have recalls, some of them don't. It baffles me nowadays. But the point of coming to Peterhead was to get game time, and it, majorly for Donny Strachan, he just isn't getting that.
No, and he'll be bitterly frustrated. I think Lyle Cameron will as well. I mean, we spoke to him early on this season. He was excited to be back. Whether he's still as excited now as he was back then remains to be seen. But yeah, certainly I think if you're Dundee, you're looking at the players out on loan and they're not getting the game time. And hey, it's maybe a conversation that's already happened, or it might happen, depending on, the, as you said, the recall clauses. But if you're certainly Danny Strachan and Lyle Cameron, you, even them as players and guys, they'd be thinking, well, why am I not getting the team? Thick and ID. I think there's much that Danny can do in terms of Josh Mulligan's just playing so well. Yeah. But Lyle Cameron, certainly I think there's something that could be worked on there.
So we'll see how that one progresses then. So on to this weekend's game, away to Airdrie. Traditionally, another tough place to go. What are you expecting from this one then? Because it's a team that we're up against that are in a bit of form as well. We're obviously they conceding goals, but we're not really scoring goals in the last two. So what are you kind of expecting?
I would like to see it's been a wee bit more positive. I know it's an away game, and it's Airdrie. It's probably the best team to do it against. But just think, at times on Saturday we're a wee bit more reserved from where going forward, rather than opening up. Kenny, that will open up the game too much and get beat. But as we say, every time we go away for him to a team, then I concede early, work your way into the game. Guarantee we'll be doing a goalie for 7 minutes or something. We'll see you come through and scores. Work your way into the game and just try and be a wee bit more expressive. But I sometimes think we take a touch too much that we didn't need to. You know, let the players, the Hamish Ritchies, Scott Browns, Josh Mulligans, let them go and play, and see if you can do. But I think it might actually be a wee bit more open than what we've seen the last couple of games for us.
2016 since we last won down there. The game earlier in the season, obviously we lost 3-2, but we were 3-0 down into the 90th minute. It was a really, really, really poor game that game. That day, as you said, we have to be alert and they concede early. Like Sir McCabe, Easton, Gallagher, they're all good players playing for Airdrie.
Easton's on a good.
We need to be careful not to allow them to get ahead. Because looking at the results, if they get ahead, they win games.
I could be wrong, I think there's been many times this season where they've taken the lead and they actually won the game. I could be wrong, but I think he might go back to the five. Well, is it three at the back with the two wing backs, or is it a back five, you call it these days? I think that'll come on the go again with Mulligan and Flint Duffy. I think it's more of a formation to use away from home. It's almost like you're conservative to start with when you get the ball break. But I think when we see the team lineups, we'll get an idea of what sort of game it'll be by who he starts up top, whether it's just one with Russell McLean, or do we see Grant Savory come in and go two up top? I think that's a big question for Jim, how he'll approach it.
And possibility of hitting Simon Ferry back as well, which could be a good thing, particularly in a game like that where you need as much experience and you need as much cover that you can get just to try and snuffle out kind of the guys that we mentioned.
Yeah, I think if you've got the back three and you've got Simon Ferry in front of your two wing backs or full backs, whatever you want to call them, on either side, it will look pretty compact and be difficult to break down. But I just feel at times that once you get the ball up top, you've got that massive gap with the midfield and the striker, so close that gap. If you've got Simon Ferry there shouting and barking orders, which he did quite a lot of on Saturday, even when he's not playing, I think we might do okay on Saturday. But I expect an open game, to be honest.
Aye, and they let Ross to be, if he is playing up front on his own, need to be too isolated, because I think sometimes in the last couple of games, even at home, you just felt he was being a little bit too isolated and there wasn't enough support for him, so that'll be key as well.
Yeah, but we mentioned that a few times. I think you mentioned on Saturday in commentary that even if Russell McLean does win the ball, there's nobody within 20 yards of him, so you've got to try and get the support up to him. But as I said, I think it could be a good game on Saturday, actually.
I think it will be, and I think we could be on for a good one. Easton, obviously, as I said, he's on good form. We'll keep us in good form, so we'll see which way it goes on Saturday then. But that is it. 100 shows, 100 episodes down. Do we go for the 200?
Why not?
we'll take it one step at a time. We'll see how it goes. But that's it for this week. As I said, that's 100 down. Here's to the next 100. As always, thanks to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening and stay safe. And we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.